Hello, this is Tiara.
Hello, this is Allie.
And this is the Goddess Vibration Podcast. Welcome back, you guys, to another episode. We are very excited. I mean, we're excited for most of our episodes, but we have another guest today. And this one's particularly interesting because she has provided services to both of us, and she does some really interesting work around divination. And it's a type of divination that I've only ever seen like in certain circles, but it's unique and it's interesting. And we really are going to dive into the mechanics behind it because it's so, so fascinating. So today we'd like to introduce Kelsey Keel, and she does some very, very powerful energy work around auras and repairing auras, but she's also a shamanic practitioner and a diviner who has been teaching and empowering others to be their best whole self. So a lot of her work is geared towards that. She has spent time working with various shamans, healers, and teachers from around the world, and is particularly passionate about the work she is doing to bridge the gap between New Age spirituality and the Christian faith, which is also very interesting because I do come from a Christian faith. So I know a little bit about that process and about how making that bridge can be, it can be a journey. So Kelsey, we're so excited to have you here today. And I'm really, really curious about how you've gone about doing that bridge between those two systems of belief, because, you know, when it comes to New Age and Christianity, there's a lot of overlap, but there's also a lot of very distinct dogma. So I'm curious to know how you go about that and how you work with people when it comes to that.
Well, first of all, hi, Allie and Tiara, and thank you guys so much for having me on your podcast. I'm super excited to be here with you two and your listeners. So I've been doing this work for close to a decade now, and I think one thing I noticed, whether I was working with clients, actually mostly working with clients, was, you know, a lot of them wanted to know, how do I get my spiritual power? Because I think whether you're a mystic, a psychic, a healer, you are able to channel some kind of spiritual power that helps you to do what you do, right? Whether you're channeling divine guidance through divination, or you're reading tarot cards, or you're doing Reiki, there's some kind of spiritual power that's giving you those gifts and abilities. And I wasn't always... In the beginning, I wasn't always clear or certain where my spiritual power was coming from. And I actually think that sometimes that's one of the shadowy sides of the New Age spiritual movement or community, is a lot of times people don't know, who am I channeling or where am I getting that energy from, right? When I'm healing somebody, where am I getting that energy from? And so as I was doing my work and becoming more clear about who I was as a healer, it became very clear to me that, first of all, I only want to receive my spiritual energy from God or Source, right? I don't want to receive it from any other being or entity that maybe isn't in my highest, most divine alignment. But the other thing that I noticed was that in all my healings, Jesus was right there with me. And I often would see him, like when I stand over a person who's doing a healing in person and they're literally laying right under my hands, I would see him right across the massage table, also laying hands on people. And, you know, I went through that whole thing, in my early 20s, like so about 15 years ago, I went through this whole thing where I was really in the yoga community and I was really immersed into some of these New Age communities. And there was this whole thing, like you can't talk about Jesus, you can't talk about God, you can't even say that word in your yoga class because you're going to trigger people. And so I went through this whole kind of process of feeling like I couldn't talk about God or I was going to trigger people. But as I've gotten more sure of who I am as a healer and the work that I'm doing in this world, I'm very sure that I'm an extension of God's hands. And I really wouldn't want to do this work any other way unless I was an extension of God's healing energy, love, light, divine intelligence, and all that. So I try to be really clear that when I'm doing this work, that's who I work for. that's who I work for. I've given my life over to God. And for a lot of people that I work with, I think that's really important. They want to know that. They want to know where my energy is coming from, where my spiritual power is coming from, and that I'm not dabbling in some kind of weird occult thing or, you know, working with something that I know nothing about or they know nothing about. So that's kind of why I have made it a point to let people know I'm a faith-based healer and I only like to perform healing that is in alignment with God and my client's highest divine will.
That is really interesting that you say that. And I'm happy that you brought something up because Tiara and I have actually been discussing this a lot lately, that a lot of people, especially if you're a channeler, don't know who they're actually channeling and where that energy is coming from and who that energy is. And Tiara and I have looked into this, and Tiara and I hold channeling sessions, and we've asked, and they said so many people on planet Earth who can channel, do channel, have psychic abilities, so many of them don't actually realize that they are channeling fake energies or imposter energies. And so many people, very unfortunately, do not have discernment, nor do they practice discernment. And so people just don't know like where this information is coming from, where the energy is coming from. And it's something that really needs to be brought to awareness and to people who are on the spiritual path who do have psychic abilities. I think people need to bring more awareness into their energy field.
Yeah, and I completely agree with you. And I've noticed that with my clients, because a lot of the clients that I work with are what I would say are going through their early stages of kind of awakening, the spiritual awakening. And in these new age communities, everybody is like so connected to spirit or spirit guides or angels or other beings. And everyone's channeling and everyone is either seeing their guides or hearing their guides. And so when these new people that are just starting to wake up to their intuitive gifts and their spiritual abilities, when they start coming into these circles, they are so desperate to connect and to have that connection that so many of us have. They're so desperate that they will take anything. And it's not a conscious decision. It's not like they're consciously saying, you know, okay, well, let me just connect into this entity or this, you know, this being. I mean, these spirits are very tricky and they do deceive you, and you do have to have certain levels of protection and clarity around your work so that you don't get deceived. But I just think that's the problem, is people are so eager, which I get it. They're so eager to connect to spirit. They're so eager to find that presence in their life that they don't realize, they don't stop to pause. Just because I can connect, should I? Or is this in my highest alignment? So it's definitely a real problem that, like you guys said, not enough people are talking about.
Yeah, not enough for talking about it at all. And, you know, when I got started with channeling, I actually went to a channeling class, and it was two individuals who had been doing channeling for a very long time. And they actually were in the process of creating a book based on some of the messages they were receiving, and they had the best intentions. And, you know, when I worked with them, I think I went to like three different courses, like three sessions with them. And the experience was fantastic and it was beautiful, but they never expressed the need to protect yourself or to have discernment or even indicated that imposter energies were a thing. And, you know, I look back on that and I just thought that was so surprising that that wasn't emphasized in teaching. And so, you know, I think that you guys are absolutely right. There's just not enough focus and emphasis on this out there. And it's, I really don't know why. It's an issue. And I wish that there was more clarity around that and, you know, guidance and teachings for people who do connect that they should be aware of this and figure out a way to figure out and learn discernment.
Yeah, I agree. And I would also add, so going back to what we were talking about in my bio about bridging that gap between New Age spirituality and Christianity, one of the things that was a part of my journey was that when I first entered these New Age communities, there tended to be a lot of wounding around religion. Because a lot of us, myself included, grew up in a church environment that was filled with shame and filled with all kinds of this, you know, religious wounding. And so there, that carried over into a lot of our lives, right? Because we do feel deeply wounded by churches, some of the church leaders, some of the darker side of religion. And I noticed that there was so much shame in saying that, you know, you believed in Jesus, or saying Jesus's name out loud, or saying that, you know, you were a follower of God. There was just so much shame in that. And the New Age community was really good at making me feel like I couldn't say those things. I couldn't talk about God. I couldn't talk about my relationship with God. It was almost like an embarrassment if you were talking about God, but you could talk about any other deity or entity or goddess or God, but you could not talk about God from more of a religious perspective. And I think that that's the shadow side of New Age spirituality. And so when I talk about bridging that gap, I think it, for me, it was about overcoming that shame of like, well, you can't be spiritual and not religious, or you can't be religious and not spiritual. You have to pick one. And I've just found that my relationship with God is bigger than that. It's bigger than the four walls of either of those paradigms. It's so much bigger than that. And God is so much bigger than that. And so we have to get out of those little boxes of shame or whatever it is that keep us really small. So I just wanted to add that to this conversation.
And I'm so glad you did, because you are absolutely right. Like, it's always been, you needed to pick one. Like, you can't be spiritual and religious. Like, it's almost like they counteract each other in some way. And I've always been of the belief that spirituality and religion kind of go hand in hand. Like, there's overlap there. And I do think that you can have a relationship with God without being religious. And a lot of people, for whatever reason, can't seem to wrap their mind around that's a possibility. I've never understood why. But yeah, I think that a relationship with God is a relationship with God, regardless of the philosophy or the belief system. And, you know, I do agree with you that coming from religion, there tends to be a lot of wounding around that. And ultimately, that's why people leave religion, because they've been turned off in some way, or maybe their upbringing was overly strict in regards to some of those beliefs, or they just feel like it's not in alignment with them anymore. And I would say for myself, that was the case. All three of those was the case for me. And I sort of got into this place where I developed these critical thinking skills, and I started applying them to, you know, the way I had been raised and some of the things that I was taught and some of the shame and the fears that were instilled through religious beliefs. So a lot of people that do go to New Age come from that, and they're trying to escape that, and they're trying to find something that feels right. And so, you know, it makes a lot of sense that a lot of people have that wounding and are trying to escape that, those boxes of belief. And it's a process. It really is.
Oh yeah, it's a huge process. I mean, I went through the whole thing of just not wanting anything to do with Jesus or the Bible or religion or anything.
Oh, yeah.
And just completely turning my back on that because I was so deeply wounded. But then I almost feel like I came full circle. You come back to realize, that the truth is in your heart, and it's through the connection that you will find as mm-hmm. you heal your relationship with God, with Source. And, you know, the more you get to know that truth inside of you, it creates this beautiful relationship and this connection that, like I mentioned earlier, it's just bigger than the four walls of a church or the four walls of a New Age community. It's so vast and expansive, and it's always changing. You know, my relationship with Spirit, with God, is just constantly evolving. Just when I think I've reached a height, I then all of a sudden I'm like, oh God, I know nothing. I know nothing.
Yeah. Right. And that's why I was like, it's a whole journey. And, you know, you mentioned going full circle, and I think I did the exact same thing. I started off as a Baptist, and I think I spent some time as an agnostic, and then I was like, oh wait, no, I'm an atheist. And so I was an atheist for a little bit, and then I went back to agnosticism, and then I was like, wait, I can have this relationship with Spirit without all of this, right? And then I decided that that was kind of the better fit for myself. But, you know, I think that that journey is similar for many of us that are, you know, trying to escape those religious beliefs and the dogma. And some of those beliefs are very, very destructive, especially some of the ones related to relationships and marriage, and like a lady should act like this, and, you know, being celibate, and like just the fear that they instill if you step out of some of those, you know, paradigms, and what will happen to you, and how if you don't do this, you'll burn in hell. And just that stuff is traumatizing. Like, it really is.
Yeah, it really is. So I grew up Catholic, which is a very strict religion. And it just, especially a female growing up in that kind of religion, like there's just so much kind of right. You either have to be the virgin, right? Or you have to be the whore. There's no in between.
Wow.
You know, there's no in between. And although nobody explicitly says that to you, those are the stories that are ingrained in you over and over and over again. And that really does start to create something inside of you that is just, you become very shameful about who you are. And you feel like, no matter what I do, I'm just this complete sinner of a person. Mm-hmm. And so that's really hard to overcome. Yeah, those are big wounds to heal. And I know every religion has its own kind of dark side as well. But that was definitely one of my experiences.
Yeah, I love that you have that context for people, because I do think that there are people that need support when it comes to trying to shift away from religion into spirituality, into New Age, trying to find a belief or values that align with them that are not rooted in fear and shame. And so I'm so glad that you're doing that work, because we really, really need that.
Thank you. Well, and also, I mean, there's a lot of religions and religious people out there still that are like, oh, if you have a crystal, you know, that's sinful. Or, you know, if you use tarot cards, that's sinful. And I have women come to me all the time for healing, and they're like, if my husband knew I was here, he would not be okay with this, right?
Oh, wow.
And things like that. And it's because there's such this, the work that I do, or, you know, if you're interested in using even herbs for healing, some people are like, oh, that's witchcraft, that's sinful.
Oh, yeah.
And so that's part of my work too, is I don't feel any kind of sin whatsoever going outside and picking herbs from my garden and using those for healing. That's something God made. God made that.
Yeah.
Why would he think that's sinful? Why would that be sinful? So we have to kind of start to rewrite those restrictive beliefs that we've somehow accepted or believed are true, that they simply aren't. They kind of hold us back. Actually,
right, they do. They really do.
Yeah.
So, Kelsey, I'm curious to know, how did you end up getting into doing some of the energy work and the aura work? Because, you know, Eileen and I both had some aura work done by you, and it was so incredible and so amazing. And it was work that I've really never seen anyone else doing, like not to the degree that you do it and not to the extent that you do. So I'm so curious to know how you got into that work and how you ended up realizing that, hey, this is something I want to provide.
Well, honestly, this was never on my radar to do energy work or be a healer at all. I still cannot believe that this is my work right now. Because I was never looking for it. It was never, you know, no little girl grows up and is like, I'm going to do that for a living. But I had a major kind of dark night of the soul moment somewhere between 10 and 15 years ago. That just everything, every area of my life was really, really not going well. And I was at a place in my life where I either had to figure out how to get myself better physically, emotionally, mentally. I didn't even know about the spiritual healing, but I just knew I had to figure out how to get myself better, how to heal myself and get my life back on track, or else I wasn't going to be here much longer. And so I went on my own healing journey of healing myself. And through that healing journey, I went on some different retreats and worked with kind of non-traditional healers, because all the traditional stuff wasn't really working for me anymore. And believe me, I tried everything. And it's funny because I was at this moment of just complete desperation. Like, I was willing to try anything. And so I decided to work with an energy worker who's very similar to me, similar to the work I'm doing now. And I decided to work with her. I had no idea what I was getting myself into, but she really helped me to move the needle. And so I started working with energy healers just because I could feel the effect in my body and it was working. And then naturally you start to get very curious about that and think, wow, I wonder if I can heal myself. How do I learn to keep healing myself? That's all I was ever interested in, was how do I heal myself? So I took Reiki and studied Reiki, and that was very interesting, and that felt very natural to me. It felt like something that I had done my whole life, which is strange. And then I studied shamanic healing. Again, I didn't think that I was going to make a career out of it, or that it was going to be something that I would end up helping with others. I just did it because I was curious, and I did it because I wanted to learn. I'm a student of life and I just love learning. But I would go to these shamanic healing workshops, and I would, you know, the teacher would be describing like, okay, we're gonna extract, you know, negative energy from a person's body, and I would, the whole time she would be like describing the exercise, I'd be like, I can't do this. This is so weird. There's no way I can do this. And then every time I would just get out of my head and I'm like, well, you either have to leave or just try it. And I would try it. And immediately I would be like, oh, this feels so natural. It was like I've done this in perhaps other lifetimes, or I just came here meant to do this work, but it felt so natural. And repairing auras just became, it was never hard for me, not even in the beginning. And over the years, it's just been something that has grown. I would say that in the beginning, I took classes to kind of give me a foundation of what my healing would look like, my healing abilities would look like. But over time, it just became less about something I read in a book or studied in a workshop or anything like that. And I just became very much in tuned to people's energy fields and started to see all the ways that they crack and break and all the abnormalities that happen in these energy fields. And I just realized that there was so much that I was seeing that wasn't even explained in a book or online or anywhere. I was seeing these things. And then I would look over at my spirit guides and Jesus and all these beautiful spirits standing around me. And I'd just be like, okay, what do I do? And then they would show me and they would teach me. And on the fly, sometimes they were training me as I was working on clients. And so it's just been a lot of years of practice and kind of honing my skill. And then eventually, you know, people in my circle, family and close friends started kind of asking me, like, what are you doing? What are you doing at these workshops? What are you learning? And some of them got really curious. So I started working on family and friends in my living room floor. And then it just grew. It grew to this beautiful business that I have. And totally unexpected. And yeah, I still can't believe this is my life sometimes.
Yep.
Whoops. Sorry.
It's okay.
It's noon. Well, it's noon here.
I was like, what is that? Okay.
Maybe there's a spirit there.
Maybe.
Love it.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead, Allie.
I was just going to say, I absolutely love that story. And I love that you have a team that was willing to help build your business, because I don't think anyone really starts a business in spirituality knowing that this is what they want to do. And I feel like the business kind of finds you. And I love that you had the support of your team and the universe to really help build what you've built, because it is very admirable. And, you know, Tiara and I have been working on building our businesses in this space, and I have so much support from my team. And I don't really think that people understand that if it's really meant for you, you will have that backing. You'll have the backing from the universe. You'll have the backing from, you know, other spiritual teachers, or it will resonate with you. It will feel right. Your intuition will lead you there. And so many people just are not in tune to what they want. And, or even like, even if they go looking, they don't know the signs. They don't know, well, am I on the right path? Am I not on the right path? But the people that just really follow that intuition, it just finds them naturally. And that's how you know you've arrived and this is what you're meant to be doing.
Oh yeah, that's so beautiful. I finally had that moment where I could feel God was leading me towards, okay, you're going to quit your corporate job with your husband and you're going to leave it all and you're going to do this. And I could feel that. And I was resisting it for a long time, like for probably three to five years. I was just resisting that calling. And then I just had this moment where I finally pretty much just surrendered my life, gave it over to God. And I was like, okay, I am done fighting you. Just open the door. Whatever door I am meant to walk through right now, just open it and I will not resist. I will just walk through it. But you have to show me the way. And you have to also be willing to know that whatever door God opens for you, it's going to be probably really weird and uncomfortable and nothing like what you thought it would be. But, which is, I know you guys are going to ask about Carrie Shull divination, which is that was part of it. I was just like, are you kidding me? That's the thing you want me to do right now? But I think when you have that moment of surrender and you realize, I don't know God's plan for me. I don't know the bigger purpose right now. But if I am willing to just surrender myself and surrender my ego and let myself walk through whatever door I can, then all those opportunities start to open up. And if you're meant to start a business, then that's where you're going to be led.
You know, I just want to give a little bit more context about the aura work that you do, Kelsey, because it's so unique and specific. And again, it's not work I see very often. So please, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, but you can see people's auras. You can see the state of their aura. You can see things like fractures, tears, and rips, and where the aura might need work. Can you also see like the energy attachments and the negative entity attachments as well?
Yes. Yep. I can see. I can see all the dark, kind of the dark spots, the places where maybe negative or unwanted or unhelpful energy will pull up in certain parts of the energy body. I can see where the energy channels and meridians get clogged. Yes, I can see the attachments, the cords, or the kind of technology, spiritual technology that some of these entities will sometimes use to kind of hook themselves up to people, and they'll drain you of your energy, or they kind of loosh off of you these darker entities, because what I've learned is because they're so disconnected from source, they cannot generate their own life force. And one of the reasons that they will attach to people is because they cannot sustain themselves like we can. And so they'll attach to us. It's more of a survival thing for them. It's just they're a predator, and they're trying to get their next meal. And so so I see those things. I see some of the weirder and darker things. But also, the way I explain the aura to a lot of people, or the energy field to a lot of people, is it's just like our physical body. Okay, because our physical body, we wash it every day. Well, most of us do. We wash it every single day, and it needs cleaned. And so the energy field is just the same. It needs cleaned or spiritually cleansed, because it attaches all kinds of kind of auric dirt or debris, negative energy you pick up from people when you go out, anytime you leave your house, you know, and anytime you're interacting with somebody, you're exchanging energy with that person. Anytime you go to a location, you're exchanging energy with that location. And so sometimes that energy gets stuck in your field, and it needs to be cleaned or cleared, just like you would shower, just like you would brush your hair or wash your hair and brush your teeth. And so, that's some of the work that I do, is just helping to clean and clear people's energy fields. The energy field is also like the body, in that it gets damaged. You mentioned the aura gets ripped and gets little holes and tears and bruises and stuff like that, just like our physical body does. Mm. And, you know, sometimes when I'm explaining these things that I see to people, there's always that moment of like, oh my gosh, something's wrong with me. And it's like, no, we don't. If you know, I cut my finger yesterday, that doesn't mean something's wrong with me. It's just a kind of a normal part of what it means to be human. And so when these things happen to the energy field, it's kind of just a normal part of also being a spiritual being. So what I do doesn't seem too out of the ordinary. I know it does for, you know, people who've never heard of this, but for me, it's just like the same. Like that, you know, you need doctors and certain kind of people to help heal your physical body. There's a lot of people, coaches and therapists, who can help you work through mental and emotional things. And there's a fourth component to that, because we're energetic or spiritual beings as well. I think that's where I try to fill in that gap for people, is being the one who can help provide deep healing to the energy body.
That is incredible. Again, I do not see a lot of people doing this level of work. And, you know, I did go to someone who, she couldn't see auras, but she could like see some of the denser energies afflicting the aura. And, you know, I did some work with her, but it was nothing near as extensive as the work that I did with you. So Kelsey, you are so incredibly gifted. And I admire that so much.
Oh, thank you. That's very sweet of you.
So we both have done work with Kelsey, and that's why we invited her on. And we do find her work to be very incredible. Aura repair, I don't think people understand. We all have an aura, and it all extends from within ourselves and the core of our bodies, but also from our chakras. And I didn't realize how important aura repair work was until I really got deeper into my spiritual gifts, and when I started channeling and I was welcoming energies into my auric field. And I go through these moments where I'm just so tired, and it's not because like I'm overworking myself, or it's not because I'm, you know, doing too much exercise or whatever. It's just I didn't realize until I met Kelsey that she was just like, if you have any rips in your aura, if you have any rips, tears, holes, even cords, like if people corded themselves to your auric field because energy cords that also exist, she was like, that's all leaking your energy. And I was just like, this all makes sense on why I'm so tired all the time. It's because people do not have awareness of their auric field and what state their aura is in. And really, if something is wrong with your aura, the effects it can have on your everyday life.
Yeah, I always tell people that your, I call it life force energy. There's a lot of different words that people use, but like your vitality, your essence, your spiritual energy is meant to stay in your energy field, right? That's yours. Even when I heal people, what I've learned to do is I can give that. I can give my own life force to somebody else. And that would probably heal them as well, but then I would be depleted, right? That is meant for me, and that is meant to sustain me. And so if we're leaking or draining or giving that energy over to somebody else, that depletes us, not just energetically, but physically, mentally, emotionally. We start to feel depleted in every way possible. And so that, you know, our energy field is like a container, and it's meant to hold all of us inside. And so when I'm healing people, and I think in Reiki, there, well, at least when I teach Reiki to people, what we're teaching is you tap into that life force energy of God, right? You connect up to God. You also connect down to the earth, and you pull all that spiritual energy. You bring it into you, and then you're filling up the client with that energy that's coming from kind of that higher source, right? So you're not depleting yourself. Because sometimes people will go overseas, like to like the old kind of like ancient Indian healers in India or other parts of the world. And they're always like, these healers are amazing, but they're all like really sick, and half of them are crippled and they can't walk and they're missing teeth. And it's like, yeah, because they probably are incredible healers, but they're probably not tapping into that kind of overflowing infinite supply of that God light, love, intelligence, all that healing energy. They're probably using their own energy, which I personally believe we're not meant to. That's for us, and that's supposed to sustain us.
I absolutely love that perspective. That perspective is amazing. I had an appointment last week with my acupuncturist, and I told him that I got the attunement, and he was just like, don't do Reiki 2. And I asked him why, and he had a very interesting perspective where he was just like, well, Reiki is a very, like, once you become Reiki 2, like, you know, you can obviously work on other people, because Reiki 1 is meant to work on yourself. Reiki 2 is meant to work on other people. And he said it's a very interchangeable energy. And he was like, people who have like very bright auras and very big auras, like energies are just naturally drawn to you. But when you open up those channels of interchangeable energy, he was like, you could be more susceptible to taking on other people's energies and emotions and things like that. And he was just like, and because I'm very empathic, he was like, I could see, you know, you're already having issues with your energy because you give so much, because you have a bigger aura and people want so much from you. People want to take from you. And he was like, I understand that you're protected, but he was like, you have to know what you're welcoming when you move up into the next attunement. So I thought that was really interesting.
Yeah, it kind of reminds me of the idea of spiritual boundaries. I think that, again, that's not something that's probably taught, but getting really clear about what is allowed into your field and what isn't allowed, and also understanding that you just because you can do an attunement doesn't mean you should, right?
Exactly.
I think sometimes people are, again, remember when I said people are so desperate to connect, and they're just so desperate to get to that next level, get to that next level, get to that next level, that they don't stop to think, well, am I ready for it? Am I ready to take on all the things that are involved in that next level? And like, it's just like people want to see spirit, and they're like, I can't see my spirit guides. And I'm like, are you sure? Like, be careful what you're asking for, because if an angel was actually going to walk in the room right now, 99.9% of people would be terrified, including myself. Like, if an angel walked in right now and physicalized itself in front of me, I would tremble.
Right.
And so, like, let's just be careful what we're asking for and make sure that we're moving at a pace that we can handle.
Right.
And that we have really good spiritual boundaries, and we're not opening ourselves up to just anything and everything, especially when we're not ready to deal with that.
Yes. And this was the cautionary tale that I wanted to share with our listeners, because I know a lot of people who are very eager in this, and like, I see people pushing their healing, and you know, they're just like, oh, like I've done like a year's worth of work in a month. And I'm just like, whoa, it's a lot. Because I don't know if it's the eagerness. I don't know if it's just, you know, shadow work is obviously not fun. And people are just like, okay, I just want to push through it and get through it, and then I can move on to the next thing. But what we've noticed is that if it's not properly healed, it will recycle and it will come back up, and people will just be like, oh, like I did the work. I thought I did the work, but it's coming back up and it's still bothering me. And I was like, because you are pushing yourself because you're just so eager, or you want to move on more quickly. I don't know if it's an ego thing. I don't really know what it is. I think every individual is different, but healing never ceases. It is a lifetime commitment. Because we have so much trauma. Everybody has trauma.
Yeah, that's so good. Yeah, it. You only can go deeper into the healing, but you're never going to be fully healed. Otherwise, there's no point in being here.
Exactly.
You know, speaking of that, like, I was definitely one of those people when it came to being eager. So I can kind of relate to why people want that. And I do think there's an ego component to it, but I know for me it was just like, okay, if I push harder and faster and quicker, I'll be done at some point and I can sit back and relax and like reap the rewards, without really realizing and thinking that, hey, this is a process that never ends and never ceases. So I know that was a big part of it for me. And you know, I think some people, it's just like they're curious, there's a discovery factor when it comes to some of that stuff. And I do think people think the more that they heal, like the more their abilities will come online, and like they'll be able to do more things and see more things, and you know, their gifts will enhance. And so I think there's multiple facets to it. I just know for myself, it was always just like, you know, the quicker I push and the faster I go, I'll be done faster and quicker, and I can not worry about this anymore. Like, that was kind of my mentality behind it. So, you know, I'm glad that you guys brought up that it is a process that never ceases, because I think people need context when it comes to what this journey really looks like.
Of course. And I will say that, I mean, once you do, Tiara, you've made a very excellent point, and I do want to point that out, is that if you do the healing work, we're not saying rush it, but yeah, more psychic abilities will come on. I know that's been the case for me. I know it's been the case for you. And so I feel like that's part of it. Like, once people kind of get that itch, or once they get like a glimpse of what they're capable of, they're like, oh, I want more. And I know you and I have both been there, and I'm sure Kelsey has too.
Yeah, I mean, it feels good. Eventually in your healing, you get to a certain level where you're like, God, this feels so great. I want more of it. I want more of it.
Yeah.
But yeah, you definitely... yeah. It's funny because, like, people, the life lessons that we choose to learn here in this lifetime, this one incarnation, a lot of times those life lessons we don't learn in one lifetime. Sometimes it takes multiple lifetimes to learn just a single lesson. It could take 5-10 lifetimes to learn a single lesson. And so, yeah, our ego gets in the way and thinks it's like school. We have to get an A+ on this lesson and master it and then just go right into the next one. But it's like, no, like for a lot of us, the life lessons that we're choosing to learn and experience, they're going to take us long, even longer than this lifetime. And so when you can kind of lean into that and just understand that my healing will happen at the pace it's meant to happen. There are days when you're going to feel that energy behind your healing that's pushing you to move a little bit quicker and really start cycling through some of those lessons. But then there's going to be periods in your life where you're just going to pull back and be in more of a resting or relaxation state and pausing and just kind of waiting and regaining your energy so that you can start working through the next lesson when it comes. But to think that the journey is just a constant, you know, straight line from here to the top, and it's not like that, right? You're going to have moments of expansion where things are moving quickly, and then you're going to have moments of actually contraction where you feel like you're stuck or you went backwards. And I always tell people, like, the contraction is just as good as the expansion. You got to learn to love the contraction just as much as you love the expansion.
I love that you mentioned that. So for our listeners, Kelsey also does really interesting work within the Akashic Records or the Akashic Records. Some people say it both ways. And I have dabbled in it a little bit. I have had some very interesting experiences trying to reach the records. I feel like reaching the records is a very like privileged thing. Can you kind of walk us through the process and how you got into it?
How I got into reading the Akashic Records. I kind of stumbled upon them by accident, actually.
Oh, really?
We've talked about it a couple times that I did study shamanic healing, which is a very kind of ancient form of healing. And one of the tactics that a lot of shamanic practitioners learn is how to do a journey, a shamanic journey, right? They learn to alter their consciousness. Some traditions will alter it through, you know, like a psychedelic or ayahuasca or something of that sort. But I learned to alter my state of consciousness just by listening to a steady drumbeat, which is a very ancient way of kind of altering your consciousness and being able to kind of journey. That's why they call it journeying, because your soul or your consciousness gets to journey into different realms. And so that's always just been one of those skills also that's came very naturally to me. I've always found it really easy to just walk into other realms of consciousness, which seems super bizarre to say out loud, but it's just been a natural thing for me to do. And yeah, I stumbled into this huge, it looks just like this massive library that never, ever ends. It's just bigger than you could even imagine. And I kind of stumbled into it one day and realized that I didn't have context for it. It wasn't for a few months later that I realized what it was. But basically, the Akashic Records, for your listeners, it's a library that houses everything your soul has ever experienced. So any past life it's ever had, not just on this planet, but in other star systems, even in other like parallel universes. I mean, if you have a soul, then there is a story. There's a record of everything your soul has ever experienced, every thought it has ever had, every action, anything it's ever done. There's a record of your soul. And so the Akashic Records is quite a massive thing. And it can get really confusing, especially if you don't know what you're doing or what you're looking for. But if you know how to access them, they can be really helpful in helping a person sometimes to understand who they are on a soul level. And it can even help us to better understand, you know, what our gifts are or why we are the way that we are sometimes.
I absolutely love that. So a lot of the work that I do is like soul retrieval, soul integration, and a lot of ascension work with my clients. And I have really learned through soul integration is learning about the story of the soul and knowing where you've reincarnated and how many times you've reincarnated and why we keep reincarnating and like figuring out soul contracts and why we make soul contracts. And nothing is coincidence. Everything happens for a reason, you guys. Everything has honestly mapped out. And I don't really think people are conscious or aware of that.
Yeah, well, I'll share this vision with you.
Please.
I've had it in several different client sessions, but I've also had this vision of my own soul before it incarnated into this lifetime. It's almost as if we sit around kind of like a business meeting with our spirit guides, our angels, the spiritual team that is going to assist us in this lifetime. But we're also sitting around our parents, our siblings, if we're going to have children, if we're going to have a spouse or a life partner, some of the most influential people in our life. And all of those souls are sitting around this table planning your life. And you're basically, on a soul level, you're telling all these other souls, like, this is why I'm incarnating. These are the lessons I want to learn. These are the experiences I want to have. This is my mission and purpose for this life. And all the souls around the table are agreeing to it. And they're all like, okay, well, I'll be this role. I'll play this role. I'll help you in this way. And everybody agrees on some level that they're going to help you do the best that they can to make sure that you achieve what you came here to achieve. And so for anybody listening, like, we don't come here just for fun. We come here for a very specific reason. And sometimes the reason is to just kind of have a holiday and have like a really fun, exciting life. And that's the mission. But we all come here for a very specific reason. And all the souls that we're involved with in this lifetime are coordinating with us to help us make sure that we get to where we're going.
I absolutely love all of that. I love working with the soul. It is honestly the most fulfilling work. And I just love like seeing people. I love working with people and seeing it click with people. And they're just like, that makes sense. It's like finding missing pieces of yourself to finally make you feel whole and things start to make sense. Because when we incarnate here, we get amnesia, we forget everything. And so like to really be able to awaken and uncover all of that information and putting the puzzle pieces back together and watching it click within clients, it's just such a beautiful process. I love it so much.
Yeah, I mean, it can be healing for a lot of people on some level to know who they are on a soul level, where they came from, right? Because I think at least 25% of the souls on this planet right now are from probably a different star system.
Right? Oh, it's more than that. It's like 40%.
Do you think it's 40? I think. You could be right. I know it's at least 25, but most people who are interested in this conversation, and most of the people probably listening to this podcast are, you know, in that 25 to 40% of people that, you know, you've been places, right? You're busy. You're traveling all over the universe.
Yes. Yeah, and it's. I think it's honestly around 40. Tiara and I were in a channeling session and we had asked, like, you know, there are souls that were specifically made for earth-based souls, human souls, whatever term you want to put to it. And I'm pretty sure we were channeling, I think, Jesus. And I'm pretty sure it was Jesus who said there was 5 billion souls that are earth-based souls on the planet right now. And there's 8 billion of us on the planet. So that means 3 billion of us, that's almost half, is from other parts of the universe.
Yeah, wow. That's so cool to think about. It's really cool to think about.
So Kelsey, we're so intrigued with everything you do. So I know you mentioned earlier talking about like the, you're gonna have to help me pronounce, is it the cowrie divination with the shells?
Yeah, cowrie shell.
Yes. So how do you go about that? Like, how do you incorporate that into some of the work that you do when it comes to helping people? Because, you know, some of the divination I'm familiar with is stuff like tarot and like, I know some people use the pendulum, and I've seen people use the, I can never remember the name of these things. Allie, the things you hold in your hand.
The dowsing rods.
Thank you. The dowsing rods. I've seen people do like the tea leaf readings and like the readings where they read the folds in your lips. But the cowrie seed, the shells, is a very unique one. And the only context I have for it is how it's been used in Africa, particularly in some of the Yoruba religious beliefs. So I'm so curious to know how you stumbled into that, because that is so fascinating.
Well, I stumbled into it because I met a cowrie shell diviner. Probably, I don't know how long ago, it's been a while. And again, it was back in that time in my life when I was just really at a low point and I was so desperate to try anything. And this woman said, I do these cowrie shell divinations. Do you want to try it? And I was like, sure, whatever. And it was such a life-changing experience, because so you have a cloth, right, with the African elemental or their cosmology wheel. So it has water, fire, earth, nature, and mineral on it. And then you have tons, you know, hundreds of pieces. Some of them are shells, cowrie shells, and other seashells, and all kinds of different colored rocks and crystals and totems and different things. And each of those pieces represents a different aspect of who you are, right? So your medicine is on there. That's the gifts that you're meant to deliver to the world or administer to the world. And your family is on there, your relationships, your role in community, anything that you would really want to know, all the different aspects that make up who you are, they're right there on the cloth. And it was, you know, the entire reading takes about an hour, sometimes longer. And this woman did this reading for me, and it was, I remember I cried. I cried like the whole time. And I'm not usually an emotional person. Like, you really don't see me get super emotional or cry. But it was for the first time in my life, I felt like somebody had really seen me. And it was so affirming. And it was such a positive experience. And I got very curious about, well, where did this come from? The person who taught this diviner was a man by the name of Maladoma Somme. And that's all I had was a name. And turns out Maladoma was an incredible gift to this world. He was just an incredible human. Shortly after my first divination, I found his autobiography of Water and the Spirit on Amazon, and I ordered it. And within a few chapters of reading about this man, I had the strongest knowing that I have ever had in my life, that man was my teacher.
Huh.
And you guys have to understand, so I'm a mom, and at that particular time in my life, I had pretty much a newborn. I had a baby and like a toddler. I think he was 2. And I'm reading this going, how am I going to go to Africa and study with this man? And I don't even know him, and this sounds like the most crazy idea I've ever had, but I just had such a strong knowing that Maladoma was going to be such an important part of my life, and I could not shake that feeling. And so I finally, again, just surrendered. I gave it over to God, and I said, okay, God, if you want me to meet this man and study with him, you're going to have to clear the way, because I'm not leaving my babies and traveling across the continent. And I can't leave my babies for more than, you know, a few days at a time. So you've just these are my parameters, but other than that, if you can make this work, I'll go meet him. And not even like a few weeks later, I got a call from a friend and she was like, Maladoma is going to be in Colorado for a week and I'm in Kansas. So it's a neighboring state. And that started probably 6 or 7 years of me getting to study with Maladoma. He was the one who taught me how to do the divination with the cowrie shells. I spent many weeks and weekends training with him and learning, you know, the West African cosmology that was very specific to his tribe. He's originally from West Africa near Burkina. And so that's how I got into it. I think you asked me how I use that with clients, I believe.
Yes, like how do you just offer readings that are strictly cowrie shell, or is it something that gets incorporated into like one-on-one work or even the aura healing work?
Yeah, so I do offer just the reading. It's an hour-long reading, and I set up two cameras, one so you can see my face and hear me talking, but then I set up a second camera that's facing the cloth with all the shells on it, so you'll see both, and we always record it too because those kinds of readings tend to transpire through, you know, time and space. Like even listening to some of the readings that Maladoma used to do for me, like they're 10 years old and there's some things he said that only just now make sense to me.
Wow.
So they're just really cool. So I always try to record those. Or if you're in person, you actually get to sit on the other side of the cloth and spin the shells yourself. And then I read them to you. So there's just an hour long session that you can book on my website where you can just do the cowrie shell reading. I also have a longer 90 minute session where you can do the cowrie shell reading and then also receive energy healing and aura repair work that I do. So you could get a little bit of both.
Oh, very cool.
So I have a question about the cowrie shell. So you said it's just a cloth. So how would you start that process? Like are they laid out in specific positions, or how does the beginning of that process go?
Yeah. So when I made my cloth, it was a very specific, we were given very specific dimensions, like the circle has to be this big. And so when I'm sitting at the cloth, the water is always the top element. So that's always closest to me. And then the fire is at the bottom of the circle towards the client. So I sit at the top of the cloth where the water is. And then the fire is down at the bottom. And then to my left, as I'm looking down on the cloth, there's the left side of the circle is going to be nature. And then the right side of the circle is going to be mineral. And then there's a second circle right in the middle, a smaller circle, that's the earth element. And so before divination, all these pieces, the stones and the shells and the coins and everything, are dumped right into the middle of the circle. And then there's a very specific way to churn the shells on the cloth. So females churn it 4 ways counterclockwise, males churn it 3 ways clockwise. So there's this whole process, and you spread the shells out over the cloth 3 or 4 times, and then you just lift your hand, and then we read the shells and all the other pieces where they lay on the cloth.
That is so fascinating.
Oh my God, that blows my mind.
I know.
it's an incredible reading, and it feels so spirit-led. Well, especially because the reason it's spirit-led is because the fire in the Dogara tradition represents the realm of ancestors and the realm of spirit. Mm. And in the reading, you always start with the stone on the cloth that represents the ancestors or the realm of spirit, because that is their main message. And so the stone could be anywhere on the cloth. It could be in the water. It could be in the fire. It could be anywhere. And it starts to tell a story depending on where it's located on the cloth. And also what other pieces it's touching will also begin to tell a story. And so I just start telling you, well, this rock here in this location next to this piece, this is what it means. And these are the messages that are, you know, and a lot of times I'm not just reading like, okay, well, this stone here means this, but I'm using all of my intuitive abilities, and I'm speaking to the ancestors that are in the room and the spirit guides. And I even feel Maladoma, who was my teacher. He passed a couple years ago, but I still feel him so present in this work. He's right there. And sometimes, you know, it's like we'll be giggling together. Like, I can just hear his voice so clearly in this work.
Incredible.
Yeah, it's so cool. It's just this beautiful, beautiful, another tool that we have, just like the Akashic Records. Just like the work, you know, you guys do, but it's just another tool we have of getting to know ourselves better. And it can sometimes kind of clear the path a little bit or make the way forward seem a little bit more clear for us.
I love all the work that you do. And it sounds like you've stumbled across some very incredible opportunities and experiences where your guides have led you down this path of really also very unique skills and gifts. And that is just, it's fascinating, it's cool, but it's also like such an incredible gift. And the universe, if our listeners take anything from this episode, it's that the universe sends us like what we need at that time. And it sounds like Kelsey had a very, you know, she went through a very dark period, as we all do, and went through that dark night of the soul, and really kind of led her on this very beautiful spiritual path to really impact people with healing. Like, there's a lot of, you know, like a lot of people will all find their own way in this spiritual path that they're in, but different gifts form for different people. And I haven't really come across someone like Kelsey who does such unique work. And I love
it. Me neither. Right. Same.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I still pinch myself every day. I'm like, is this really my life? Like, who would have thought? Because I'm just like, I always saw myself as just this average girl who grew up in Western Kansas, and I only ever moved 2 hours away from home. So, you know, and I'm a mom, I'm a householder. I lead this pretty average, ordinary life, at least on paper. Mm-hmm. But then in the background, there's this incredible, like, rich spiritual life that I just keep tending to, like a garden, you know, you just keep growing it and watering it. And I still can't believe sometimes where I've ended up on this path.
Well, we greatly admire and respect where you have ended up, because it sounds like it's been quite a powerful journey for you. And, you know, I always admire those journeys that people take, especially when they're coming from religion, because I know it's so hard to shift your mindset when it comes to some of those heavily ingrained religious beliefs. So I always admire people who are able to escape that and then come back around to, you know, living their best, most authentic self, realizing that they can maintain a connection to God and spirit outside of religion. So, you know, I recognize that journey and I respect it greatly. And so, you know, it's one of the reasons why we wanted to have you here, is because, like, you know, I think all three of us in some ways, like, have had very similar experiences and journeys. And so I knew this was going to be a very interesting conversation.
Well, I appreciate that. You guys are just so kind. And, you know, one thing I would add is about my journey, and I think that this will help anybody listening, is that once I embraced my authenticity, and I understood that every single person is unique and our path is unique and the way we connect to God is unique and everybody is so completely unique. And once we embrace our own authenticity and realize that, you know, we need to stop faking it and just embrace what is already within us and just embrace it and stop resisting and fighting it. And once you do that, the way forward gets pretty easy, but we get in our way and we like to kind of block our truth and block our authenticity. And we like to think that we're in charge and we know exactly what the way forward should look like. But if we can just get out of the way sometimes, it looks so much better. And you realize, I couldn't have dreamed this up any better, even if I had tried to.
I have a lot of respect for you for mentioning that, because trigger warning to our listeners, a lot of people don't live from the authentic self. A lot of people live from the ego-based self, where it's like fake it until you make it, or it's just one of those things where when you don't live from the authentic self and when you're living from the ego part of yourself, that's when all the blocks go up. That's when all the walls go up and you think, and the ego's telling you, no, you're on the right path. Like, look at you, you're kicking butt out there. And then spiritually you're like killing yourself in a lot of ways. And so a lot of people, it's really hard for people to have that awareness between their ego-based self and then their authentic, like spiritual-based self. And unfortunately, a lot of people are operating from the ego space, even in spiritual age and new age. And there's a lot of imposter energy out there, and there's a lot of imposter syndrome out there. And people looking for spiritual healers, it's really important to be able to pick up on those signs when people are not living from their authentic self, because it's like, going back to the beginning of the episode when we were kind of talking about imposter energies and fake energies, because those exist, those also exist in people. And so when you work with spiritual healers, you guys don't know, like, it's a very intimate journey between you and like the person you're working with. You are letting them into your energy. You are letting them into your soul's history. You are letting them in. And you have to be, I want our listeners to tread on more of the cautious side of who you're letting into your energy field, including like physical 3D people who are spiritual healers.
Yeah, I can actually say, I mean, as a healer, I sometimes have to clean up the damages that are caused by people kind of getting into the wrong healing circles or working with the wrong kind of person. And so when it comes to being authentic, I try to be very open and honest about, this is who I am, this is what I do, and I'm not going to be for everybody, and I'm not trying to be for everybody. There are going to be plenty of people who don't resonate with me and are not going to find benefit in my work, and that's okay. Because when I'm being truly authentic, it's like I put out this almost like this magnetic beam that is going to attract those who are a good fit into my circle. And the more clear I get about who I am, the more I'm able to attract the people that are the perfect fit for me. Mm-hmm. And it works the other way too, because if you know who you are and you're in touch with that place of authenticity and you're really in touch with your discernment, you're going to know which people you want to let into your field and which people you don't. And, you know, I just tell people, like, energy work, you hit it on the nose when you said it's so intimate, because it's literally it's worse than inviting a random stranger into your home and just being like, you know, here's my diary, take a look. Here's my underwear drawer, why don't you dig around a little bit? Like, here's all my personal and most private parts of my home. Like, just have a go at it. And, you know, you wouldn't do that to just anybody. In fact, there's very few people in the world that you would be comfortable allowing into your home to witness some of the most personal and private parts of your life. And so when we're working with healers or psychics or anybody of that nature, we do need to be very discerning and be like, is this what's truly best for me? Do I feel that energetic alignment? Do I feel that big yes in my body? And if there's any kind of signal or sign or something in my body that's saying this might not be for me, you have to have the strength and courage to say that's not for me and then walk away. Otherwise, you end up doing more damage than good if you, you know, force yourself to go forward with some of these situations that they do. They can actually make things worse for you.
Wow. I think you had mentioned that to me when we did our session, that you intuited that perhaps there was a healer or someone I had worked with who had done some damage. And I thought that was so interesting. I didn't even know that that was a thing. So it was just very interesting to hear you say that.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And I don't think I never want to speak ill towards anybody who wants to, you know, do any kind of mystical work, because it's very much needed.
It is.
But I also think that any kind of healer or mystic needs to take full responsibility for, again, kind of going full circle to where we started this podcast. They need to take full responsibility for who they're channeling, who they're working with, where they're getting their spiritual energy, where they're getting their divine guidance or information from. You need to get clear about that. And if you're not clear about that, you shouldn't be touching other people yet until you know.
Right.
And I love that you said that, because I'm very much the same way. Like, I know that not everyone who comes into my field wants to work with me, and that's okay. And I'm very upfront about it. I'm like, listen, like, this is who I am. This is the work that I do. I'm very confident in that. And if it doesn't resonate with you, that is okay. Like, go find someone that resonates with you, and you, like, as Kelsey just said, you get that big yes from them and you just feel so good and you're excited to get into that work. But I know people, like, out of desperation or eagerness or whatever it may be, jump into these scenarios with these people. And I'm just like, you have no idea who you're actually working with. You have no idea what type of work they are doing on their own. They don't know if, like, for example, I wouldn't want to work with someone who does not have discernment, because say if someone's like, oh, I'm a channeler, but they don't have that discernment and that confidence and that trust in themselves. It's like, well, how do you know that that person is channeling the correct entity or the correct energy if they do not know? And then you're taking that information and they are giving you that information, and you know, you have to be careful with that stuff, because some of that information is going to be wrong. Some of that information could actually steer you in the wrong direction, setting your journey back. And I don't think people really are conscious of any of this. And that's, it's unfortunate.
Oh my gosh, for sure. I mean, none of us are perfect. We're going to make mistakes and we're going to interpret, you know, things differently. And, you know, I even tell people, like, I do not put me on this pedestal as like a guru or a teacher, that everything that comes out of my mouth is 100% true. Like, I do my best, but I'm going to make mistakes. And, you know, I even tell my clients, I'm like, if I say something that doesn't resonate with you, then just let it go in one ear and out the other, because only you know what's right for you or what's true for you. And so, you know, also we have to stop. I remember when I was in the earlier phases of my spiritual journey, I would hang on to every single word of whatever healer I met or whatever diviner I met. And I would just hang on to every word like it was gospel, right? And I have definitely had to shift that within myself, because it's like, I've worked with plenty of healers now. They'll say things and I'm like, yeah, it didn't resonate, but that's okay. Just let it go, right? That wasn't for me. And so we also have to learn to be sovereign, right? To me, absolutely. That's what it means to be sovereign, is to not let anybody dictate your life. You can definitely seek the help and the guidance, but also at the same time, you're the author of your life and your story. You get to create it. Don't let anybody else write that story for you.
Absolutely. And I'm so happy that we were actually able to have this piece of conversation, because it's something that our listeners and people in the spiritual space need to know. I mean, no one is perfect, and divination is not 100% accurate. And so it's really important for individuals to build that intuition and find what resonates with them and discard what doesn't.
Yep, exactly.
So, Kelsey, thank you so much for coming on to our show. This has been such a great, this exceeded my expectations in conversation. Like, Tiara and I kind of brainstormed what we wanted to talk about. And this is what we love about like free form and just letting the conversation flow, because feel like we've hit so many important topics that our listeners need to be aware of. But also, it's just, you do such fascinating work, and it's just been such an honor having you on the show.
Oh, thank you so much. It's been my honor and privilege to be here with you guys today. I was so excited when you asked me to join you guys on this podcast. So thank you so much.
Kelsey, for anyone in the audience who might be interested in working with you, whether that's aura repair or getting an Akashic reading or even doing the cowrie shell divination, I think I said it right that time, where can they learn more about you?
Yep, everything's on my website. My name is spelled KelseyKuehl.com. So it's KelseyKuehl.com is my website, and everything can be found on there.
Excellent. I loved this. This is a great conversation.
Me too.
So again, thank you so much, Kelsey, for joining us. To all of our listeners, Kelsey's information will be in our show notes. If you guys have any questions, comments, feel free to reach out to her. Feel free to reach out to us. Also, our spiritual community is officially launched on Patreon. You can sign up today. We hope to see all of you there.
Yes, and you can also, we're getting ready to launch a tarot. So what we want to do is we want to give you guys a little bit of a sneak peek into what we're going to be offering in the community. So we are going to be hosting a Tarot Truths webinar. There is no date for that yet, but it is in the works, and it's going to be really, really fun. So if you're not on our email list, you can sign up to our email list on our website, and that's where we're going to be sending all this information. So please do check us out at www.goddessvibrationstudio.com. There's information on all our prior episodes, as well as a direct link to the community, as well as a way to subscribe. So please do sign up and stay tuned.
Thank you, everybody. And we hope you have a great week, and we will catch you next time.
All right. Take care, you guys.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Oh,